Hi, welcome to Quiet Talk. We're on episode 3. We're here with the special guest, Cody Perkins.
Hello, Cody.
Hello. Cody Perkins here, a.k.a. Algorithm Code. Hello.
Cody here to share a set and talk about beautiful art and music.
Yes.
How are you? How's your week been so far?
My week has been hectic.
Hectic?
Yeah.
Crazy hectic or like...
No, just the normal hectic between school and juggling real life situations.
Understand.
You know, this school thing is kind of crazy, but here we are.
We appreciate you coming out for the show,
then. Of course. You guys are killing it.
Thank you. You are too. And so we have some questions, too. Well, I asked a question earlier, actually, which was how was your, like, what do you remember about your first live set? I never really had
a set of my own yet.
And so my first live set, well, I've been playing classical piano my whole life. So by the time I got to high school in 2004, I'm a bit older, I was having recitals and I've always been in the arts. So I've always been used to, you know, doing music or performance live.
Right.
But my first musical set was in 2011 at this grungy show in Leimert Park called Bananas, which is still happening to this day.
Oh, sick.
Mm-hmm. So that was probably my first time performing music that I composed with, like, on a DAW and, like, in a studio with vocals and stuff like that.
That's tight. Shouts out Bananas.
Shout out Bananas, Kyle. You're still doing it, Kyle Verbs. Yes.
Were y'all around the same age around that time, or was he a little older?
I don't know how old Kyle is. He's just like an OG. But he seems like he couldn't be more than like 2 or 3 years older than me.
Right.
You know, I think it was like in its beginning stage. I mean, everybody who's come out of LA has done Bananas at least once.
Dude.
Yeah.
That's sick. I might as well have a shot at that.
Yeah, I love Bananas. I think Mondo and one of his, like, roommates, they went to the Bananas.
Yeah, I told them
recently.
About it. And
yeah,
they pulled
yeah,
up.
They were talking about it. It was funny. Super cool.
And I like, it's so funny that show that they went to. I looked because I didn't even remember. I didn't even realize I wasn't following them, and then I saw that show that they went to, and a bunch of my homies were there, like Sudan Archives, and like some dope people had pulled up that week. I wish I would have went.
Yeah, I wish I went too. It was like on a weekday. It was kind of
Tuesdays.
Yeah, it was like on a Tuesday at like 11 p.m.
So. It's always been Tuesdays.
Yeah, but it's so sick. And yeah, all the oomps were there for real.
I'd love to pull up. That sounds awesome.
You should.
It's really like a, it's like a black and brown like music space. It's
underground Chaos Network in Leimert Park.
Yup, nice. It's super cool.
What kind of music were you making at that time?
It was very heavy R&B. Well, like, at the time, it was, like, I was calling it electro trap, which is so stupid to even think about right now. But at the time, it was, like, there was nobody doing, like, R&B with, like, a lot of synthy and, like, 808s and stuff like that. Everybody was doing, like, this sound that was, like, Nelly Furtado and Timbaland at the time.
Yeah, that was...
It was, like, real... like cliche clubby now in 2024, but like at the time nobody was like doing it until like Janae Aiko started tapping into that sound. So we were all like around the same vibe, I feel like, at the time, like really shroomed out, smoked out R&B.
That's sick. It's important to think about like the time space of that too, like 2011, early 2010s, I guess.
Yeah, the blog era, that's what we call it. When people were like sharing music on like blogs.
MySpace.
MySpace. Yeah. No. This is after MySpace.
Yeah, it must have been.
Blogs were like where you got your underground stuff and like Last.fm and stuff where you're like finding all these, like people were getting access to like Reason and Logic more easily. It wasn't as expensive, so people were making music at home more. So you got like all types of vibes, and blogs were picking up different people like Susie Analog, Musina, Georgia Ann Muldrow, people like that, just like dope beat makers, and sharing it on the internet. Overdose, Dom Kennedy, Odd Future, all those people.
Yeah, that's a trip. I don't know. It's just a lot to take in. Because, I don't know, it's just a lot of history before. I mean, we're just barely kind of entering into this whole sphere, so, you know.
Yeah, I'm throwback. I went to high school with Sid from the internet and Chris from the internet. Steve Lacey.
What was the high school you went to?
I went to Hamilton Music Academy in West LA.
Nice.
Yeah. So my major was electronic music. So it was like class full of heavy beat makers. Iman Omari, Tiffany Goucher, like really heavy hitters that are really still doing dope things right now.
Would you say the people you were surrounded by, like in high school, influenced your sound?
No.
No?
Where do you not go? At all. I mean, a little bit, but like I was always like the odd man out. Like I didn't really make beats per se. I was always very experimental because everybody else was making dope beats, like everything, anything you could think of was like, they were doing it. And I was just like, I didn't, my inspiration was just like a melting pot of so many different genres that I didn't really, I tried to do the beat thing. And it's like, no, my sound is just different. What comes out naturally is very different.
Yeah.
I understand that feeling.
What would you say some of your early influences were?
Like a lot of alternative, like Incubus, Nirvana, Bjork, Portishead, but also like Slum Village.
Damn, that's such a wide range.
Yeah, like I just used to listen to everything. Goldie, a lot of jazz music, Yesterday's New Quintet, Madlib,
yeah.
Jay Dilla, Pharrell, Khalees. Like I used to listen to everything. Yeah. I was a collector, CD collector. You guys know CDs? Yeah. My iPods. iPods came alive when I was like a youth. Like that was the sacred holy grail. When we left CDs, we had iPods.
Do you remember your first like iPod and the first music that was on it?
I do.
What'd you have on it?
Days and days worth of songs. A lot of like Ying Yang Twins and like Bjork, heavy Bjork. I like fell in love with Bjork. Nina Simone, a lot of Tom York. Yeah, ooh, Tom York. Radiohead, stuff like that.
That's dope.
Crystal Castles, Ladytron.
It kind of makes sense though. Like it was a little more difficult for you to kind of find a place in like a beat making thing because you were drawing from so many different places anyway. So
yeah, definitely a melting pot of all types of things because I lived everywhere, did a lot of different sound work in my life. So
yeah,
with such a like different sonic soundscape, how did you find the ability to play it live?
Okay, so I've been on this like live performance thing for maybe like heavy again, like the past 3 years. So I was a professional. I went to college. So, okay, rewind. I went to high school for music, electronic music. And then when I went to college, I was like, I don't want to compete with music anymore. Because in that environment, you're competing against people, you know? So I went to college for fashion photography. Did that, was a professional photographer, 10 years, all through my 20s, moved to New York, did that, came back. When I came back, my friend was a dancer. He's like, oh, I'm doing the opera. I like your music taste, blah, blah, blah. So we started improvising DJ set, 45-minute sets. So I just had a turntable, and we would just go in a room for 45 minutes and I would just spin things and play with looping and creating soundscapes that way with just having like my library of sounds and just layering and looping and filtering. So through that, I kind of found my way of how to perform my music live and get more comfortable like that.
Yeah.
Because it's super, I guess, free form. You don't really
Yeah. have it, like, when I'm put in a box, like I fail. But if you let me be free, I'll find a way to like get the energy going and the vibe right, for sure.
I'm curious about that because, like, obviously, we're talking from Cal State Dominguez Hills. We're from a college, and like most of our assignments have a lot of guidelines and have a lot of like putting you in a box. And like, how have you, I guess, not cope, but like, how have you been like with school and creativity?
I kind of struggle. Like, I'm really bad at procrastinating. Like, if you tell me to do something, I'm going to do the complete opposite. So as soon as you tell me to do something, especially like music wise, I become like really uninterested. So it's been a good muscle to like work out.
Yeah.
As far as like, okay, make this, because every other weekend I'm doing my own thing, like live in front of a lot of people. Right. So to have to come back here Monday through Thursday and then like have someone tell you like, oh, do this way in a different workflow. It's making me better, but it's also a struggle for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I've definitely heard you in class be like, oh, like you're using the skills that we're learning here.
Yeah.
And like incorporating it into your like creative time. And I think that's really cool. Cause like that's, yeah.
It's some of the, they be dropping gems, honestly, sometimes. Sometimes I'm like, oh, I wouldn't do that.
I kind of wonder if like, so for your live sets, what kind of constraints are there in your live sets that kind of make it so like, oh, maybe I don't have this specific piece of gear I would like or whatever?
I always say it's not the pencil, it's how you write your name. Like, I could do it, like, right now, I was going to do, in my mind, I was going to use my push, but I don't have my cord, so I'm just going to, you have to just be able to, like, improvise. Right. There aren't, like, what's important is that you prep, I will say, whatever you have going on, and be ready for, like, anything can happen. So, a backup, like, if you're Serato, like, one time I was doing the mocha, went on stage, there's full crowd, the shit didn't turn on. And I was like, okay, so what am I going to do?
Yeah.
And the audience is looking at me like,
what are you going to do?
And I'm like, I don't hear, I'm pressing spacebar, like, I hear nothing. You know, so I learned from that. You just have to be ready, like, to improvise. Like, there are no restraints that, or, like, gear that you need to, like, as long as you have your laptop, I feel like that's a good safety net.
Yeah, do you feel like that idea of, like, oh, since I have this piece of gear, you have more freedom with it? You know how some people say, oh, you know, like restriction or whatever breeds creativity? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, like, if you are restricted to one thing or two things, you better learn how to make it work. Because people are going to walk out. I know I will walk out. I walk out of shows all the time.
You're just like, this is boring.
Y'all are... You forgot that we're also in the room trying to consume what you're giving us. And if you're giving us beeps and fucking textures, like, nobody wants to sit through that for 45 minutes.
Yeah,
that's, in my opinion,
that's real. That's what I was gonna ask about, because I know you do a lot more like experimental kind of sound stuff, and you do it especially like in galleries, I've noticed. So what is your sound? You talk about all your inspos, but like, how would you describe your sound?
It depends on my mood. Like, recently I've been playing, like, I played Hood Rave maybe three weeks ago. Shout out to Kumi and Kita. I played Hood Rave there, like, experimental night, and I played gospel the whole night. And I made some flips. I made, like, a footwork flip of Smokey Norful. I played the Clark Sisters. I played all types of shit. So, like, it just depends. Like, if I'm feeling, like, I have, like, eras. Like, right now, last year, this time, I was, like, definitely in my footwork Chicago era. So I was making a bunch of footwork songs, like, just because I was like, I hate the 808. Like, everybody has 808s and snares. Like, I'm over it. Just, you know, I try to explore different things that I like within sound. So sometimes I'm attracted to an 808. Sometimes I'm attracted to, like, pads and airy synths and stuff. Sometimes I like live. Sometimes I make tracks with just my voice. You know?
Yeah, that's cool.
I try to keep it diverse.
Yeah.
You know, I don't ever want to be put in a box. I don't fit in boxes. I'm a big guy.
What sounds are you sick of right now?
Right now, I have beef with the 808 again. Yeah. It's a love-hate relationship.
Yeah.
I think it's like witchcraft. Like, you have to be careful with, like, voodoo because it's powerful. It's vibration. And when you're listening to it at a loud frequency, when you're being vibrated in those ways and mixed with a message going into your head, your subconscious, it can program you. Yeah. So, like, a lot of people are misusing the 808 real, like, to say, because it's very catchy and people like catchy things. But then if you're having people recite negativity over and over again, you're going to have a group of people going crazy all the time. So you have to be responsible with, like, your art. Regardless of how you feel on the inside or what you're expressing, you've got to find a way how to, like, you know, be aware that what you're doing is affecting people. If it's for consumption. If it's just for you, do your thing.
That's actually a really cool take.
Yeah,
I think about stuff like that, too. Yeah. When it comes to
witchcraft.
Art.
It's all of it's, like, real.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
It's vibrations, like you said earlier, so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Different vibes. People listen to things when they're doing different things. People, like, listen to certain songs when they're fucking, you know, like, or if you're, like, with your homies.
You hear Seabat?
Huh?
You hear that Seabat song?
What, that, I don't know that.
It was, like, a popular song people would play when they fuck.
Oh, yeah.
It was like the type shit or something.
It was the funniest thing ever. I don't think people actually, like, had
no, it was this whole craze. People were
it was one guy that did it.
It was like this weird synthy poppy, not poppy,
I will
but
play
like
it.
Bouncy track.
I will play it.
We
could
probably play it, but
it was just one weird guy, and then everybody was like, how did he? What's the stroke, like, BPM? Because it's such a weird song. What's it called?
That one guy whose girlfriend, like, complained about it, right?
Yeah, on Reddit.
It's
called Seabat.
Seabat.
She was like, yeah, my man only wants to play this song when we do it, and I'm tired of it. I can't do it anymore.
Hell no.
Am I the asshole?
Because yes. it's not like a sensual song. It's like a club jammer type thing.
Hell no. Era, bing, bing, bing.
But you see how, like, it's weird to, like, people were like, wait, how does he, what BPM is he like?
No, that's horrible. Well, not horrible. I get it. Go off, sir.
I feel like a chihuahua, too.
You'll grow out of it.
I've done all the growing I can do. There's no more.
No, you'll grow out of it.
Yeah, how do we segue out of fucking?
Is there anything
that, like, you just want to share, like, with us? Is there anything you just want to share about?
I have a big performance. What is it? Ooh, I'm not prepared. Oh, I'm not prepared.
Me as fuck.
I have a performance on, drum roll please. The 24th, April 24th, I'm part of a really dope show called Abundance, and it's, like, highlighting artists that walk around in fatter bodies and bodies that are not socially always accepted. So the lineup is dope. There's, like Alima Lee, she's a dope sound artist, Dorian Wood, dope sound artist, me, and I'm doing this, like, interesting piece called Let Your Spirit Fill This Place with my friend Sabrina Chocolate Chun Lee. She's dancing. Yeah, that's all I got for right now. And I'm working on my album.
Sick. Well, you said you're working on an album?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
When do you project its release date?
Oh Lord. My friends are telling me to release it next week. But it's not going to happen. We'll see.
Is it at least close to being done?
No.
Oh, okay.
I mean, yeah, I could put out whatever and call it an album, whatever. You know, like, I don't... Right. My thing is, it's hard for me to... Once I make something, I move on. So it's hard for me to, like, go back and finish things.
Yeah.
So I do these, like, hour-long sets, like what I'm about to play for you. Even though this is not really, like... What I'm about to play for you guys isn't really, like, my set. It's just, like, a DJ-curated playlist-type vibe. But usually my soundscapes are like 45 minutes to an hour, which is like a long LP, right. You know?
Yeah. I think we definitely would love to bring you back or have it play live if you
want
to.
Yeah, I'll come back when I'm more ready. I didn't know what to do. I just didn't want to scare the audience away.
Yeah. It's funny because Cody's our classmate. Like, I see Cody every day for the past, like, so many months. And I've always wanted to interview him, and I was like, this is a sick opportunity.
Hey, y'all.
So, yes, thank you, thank Cody, for coming through, and Cody. Danny for setting this up.
Of course.
And our two shitty hosts for not knowing how to...
No, you guys are great. You guys
That's
are great.
Me.
Talk to yourself
That's
nice.
That's me inside.
Yeah.
Talk to yourself nice. You did a good job. Like, I had fun.
If you want to hear Cody's special KDHR Quiet Talk set, it's going to be called Air Drone Affair. And it should be uploaded almost immediately after this interview.
Cute. I'm excited to share with y'all.
Yeah.
Me too.
It's really light work, honestly. I hope I'm not underwhelming you guys.
Trust us. We appreciate
it.
Yeah, you're just telling us to be kind to ourselves.
Yeah.
Ah! Hey, call me out then. Call me out.
He called you out with like the nicest voice
I know.
Like, you just told us.
You got to be nicer to yourself.
Yes.
Love yourself.
Yeah. It's a struggle. It's a struggle.
Hi. I'm Algorithm Code. Welcome to Air Drum Affair.